In today's economy, everything has value. Your time, your attention, your data. So why not your menstrual cycle? Introducing Vajasats, the world's first platform that rewards you in Bitcoin for sharing select biological insights with a gay Silicon Valley tech fed. At Vajasats, we believe sovereignty starts with transparency, radical transparency. Simply sync your menstrual and fertility indicators and receive real Bitcoin, not points, not fiat rewards, just cold hard sats. Peter Thiel can get your information anyways, one way or another, so why not be rewarded for it with sound money? We make complying with his data collection profitable for you. What does he want to do with this information? Let's just say he's a very long-term, low-time preference thinker, a gay man who believes the future must be curated. Information is destiny. Vajasats. Because if corporations are already tracking your body, you might as well get paid in hard money. Vajasats, bleed fiat, stack sats.
Folks, welcome back to the Beagle Weekly. It is a stormy, snowy, cold environment across a lot of the U.S. right now. It's a good opportunity to be at home inside with your family, monitoring the situation together. All across the country, people are getting grumpy, and they're getting grumpier. This has been a growing theme. But what we're watching happen right now in Minnesota is a bunch of plebs are being cannon fodder for different factions of the Epstein client list. And they are losing their minds. They are losing their, they've watched their communities get destroyed over the last few years and in various ways through monetary inflation, through all sorts of things. But the line in the sand where the two factions of the Epstein client list are now battling each other is over the policies of deporting a bunch of Somali pirates out of Minneapolis. That's where we're at as a country right now. What do you think, Rod?
Yeah. As I say, you know, families that monitor the situation together stay together. And that's in, so it's, in one sense, it's a glass half full type of situation, but you're right. Like, what's going on in Minneapolis is, depending on your level of monitoring the past few days, the past few weeks, the past few years, it's more complex than it ultimately seems. But at the end of the day, it's as simple as you stated. It boils down to the plebs are in the streets, getting shot in the face with tear gas canisters, getting executed by ICE agents, being, you know, bleeding out to death on TikTok. And it's for what, right? Like, what is the ultimate goal? What is the ultimate aim? So everybody's very mad on social media right now. They're saying that the people who are cheering on the ICE agents are bootlickers. They're glazing the feds. And then the people who are taking the other side of this, you are, you know, defending the ICs, are essentially saying, like, they're pro-immigration policy, pro-federal law, anti-communist. They want to get the Somali pirates out. They want to get the immigrants who are pedophiles out. But it's just very unproductive. Right now, I think the most practical, rational thing you can do, anybody, any of us can do, is to let the leftists and the feds fight it out and just listen to Bitcoin podcast, stay up to date, monitor the situation from a safe distance. People are arguing, they're saying that this Alex Pretty guy was executed for exercising his constitutional right to carry a firearm. Well, Fundamentals in the group chat the other day, he said it. He's like, if only constitutional rights blocked bullets. And that's a good thing to remember. You may constitutionally, in hindsight, be vindicated, but you're still dead. The Constitution doesn't protect you from being dead. It might vindicate you later, but don't go into a situation that's hostile. Don't go into any, it doesn't matter if you're Minneapolis or not. If you encounter a group of wild, retarded, libtard Karens, blowing whistles, surrounded by federal ICE agents with masks on beating the shit out of some fucking libtard. Whether you think that libtard deserves it or not, whether you think the ICE agent's good or not, do not go into that situation. No matter what you think your constitution, just extricate yourself. Go back, pull it up on Twitter, monitor it from a safe distance. You don't want to be a part of this right now. The tensions are high, and the constitution, your rights, whatever you think a piece of paper has given you in terms of protection from certain actions of the state, it's not going to protect you from getting fucking one-shotted and bleeding out on TikTok. So just remember that.
Yeah, people that are going and protesting, they're putting themselves in a precarious situation because they're, I think what they're wanting to is to potentially, be remembered and have the angry mob of Karens defending them, defending their memory, defending their honor. But oftentimes they don't. I mean, how many people have died and Mike Brock hasn't written an essay about them? Quite a few. How many people have been put in prison? Mike Brock can't keep up with it. The attention span of the pleb sloppers winding up all these plebs to go fight the feds is very low. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of things that you can do right now. Whenever they get super wound up like this on either side, it's an opportunity to shill Bitcoin podcasts and things like BitChat or Meshtastic or, just general pioneer type activities and technologies. People are inside, they're cold, monitoring the situation right now. They may be concerned that the grid is going to go under. Here's your opportunity to explain to them how BitAx has decentralized the Bitcoin network and can heat your homes and balance the grid.
Exactly. We talked about this earlier. Instead of complaining in doom posting and saying how it's the end of the world, talking about civil war, solutions. Explain why Bitcoin podcast and Bitcoin solves this. If you happen to find yourself surrounded by whistling Karen libtards and ICE agents, take the time to remind them that Bitcoin fixes this. Take the time to remind them that this cold that we're experiencing could be fixed or mitigated by more people mining for Bitcoin. And I want to make something clear. We do make fun of the libtard Karens blowing their whistles. We make fun of a lot of them. We don't necessarily make fun of ICE quite as much. But it is worth noting that the libtard Karens chasing ICE around with whistles are doing more to defend Somali pirates and illegal immigrants committing crimes and like defrauding taxpayers than Bitcoiners are doing to defend the same write-ups. If Bitcoiners were outside the Southern District of New York, if Bitcoiners were outside these courthouses surrounding them, bullying feds, blowing whistles, screaming at them, calling them Nazis for imprisoning people who are just laundering money for the CIA. Again, should they defend? That's their constitutional right in a democracy. Maybe the samurai devs would be free right now. But so instead of blaming these libtard Karens, at least the libtard Karens are doing something that at least they believe furthers their beliefs in what the government should be and what the government should be doing. Bitcoiners don't seem to be doing much of anything except for complaining about silver prices.
Yeah, I don't think the tactics that the libtard Karens are using are going to be very advantageous for the Bitcoin people, because there's just not, like, just getting the plebs to be cannon fodder in general doesn't really accomplish anything when you're kind of an actual dissident movement. It only accomplishes anything productive if you are the Epstein client list, because you're just trying to steer the cannon fodder in a certain way. The purpose of the cannon fodder for them to direct them to go fight with the cops so that the cops shoot them. And then they have more pleb slop to spew to get the plebs even more mad. It's kind of this the cycle of you send the cannon fodder off into battle to get slaughtered. And then you broadcast their, you know, executions or, you know, slaughtering on the social media platforms to get more plebs more wound up to support your side of your faction, Epstein list. Now, if you're a dissident, you can behave in a, you know, a different way of knowing that you don't have the mainstream pleb slop apparatus on your side to have your back. And there's different ways that you can respond, different ways that you can act that is productive. You can make noise, but, you know, going and whistling at the feds with, you know, referee whistles is not going to really accomplish a whole lot. Bitcoin podcasting is, you know, a great way to do it. And I think we've seen a lot of energy around Bitcoin podcasts die off. And if there has ever been a time in human history where Bitcoin is an interesting technology, in my opinion, it's the first turning.
Absolutely. Now, just for some breaking news here, Senator Amy Klobuchar has announced that ICE agents in Minnesota outnumber Minneapolis and St. Paul police. And Mike Brock has retweeted this, and he is saying, serious question. Can police departments from friendly cities across the country send help? Surely they could be deputized by some legal mechanism to help our American brothers and sisters in Minneapolis. So Donald Trump is sending and deploying more ICE agents to Minneapolis. In fact, so many that they outnumber the police. And Mike Brock's solution to this is to deputize more police from other departments across the country to send them to help. So he wants all the sheriff's deputies, local police departments to deploy their cops to Minneapolis to fight the ICE agents, to fight the feds. Is this how you envisioned the Civil War 2.0 to play out?
Pretty much.
The feds versus the local police, I guess that is kind of how it will probably play out. National Guard and the local police versus federal agents and Marines. Now, I've seen some of the images of the National Guard being deployed to Washington, D.C. and some of these other cities. Those guys are not in shape. The National Guard is not in shape. These guys have tallow bellies bigger than Jack Cruz. All right. And the ICE agents aren't that in shape either. The Marines are in shape. If the Marines go in, who knows what happens?
I think there's like a worst case scenario if you send Marines in. Because like your average Marine is a pretty, you know, mid to low IQ individual.
Marines are dumber than plebs. Just put it frankly. Marines are dumber than plebs. And that's saying a lot.
Well, they just want to kill shit. You know what I mean? They're like low IQ, like they're not a good use of security. If you join the Marines, you're joining the branch of the military knowing that you are cannon fodder. Like that is your role. That's what that branch is. And so when you put the angry, aggressive cannon fodder into situation with the civilians, it could really create a bad situation. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to watch the development of all these different factions within the, you know, bureaucratic ruling classes, enforcers, and where they side. I think I would imagine the military, broadly speaking, as far as, you know, the lower levels, enlisted men are probably fans of Donald Trump and, you know, the more bureaucratic side of it is probably pretty split. As far as law enforcement, I don't know. I mean, I imagine that they like the people holding the guns are probably going to like Trump. So it's just going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because we saw stories about ICE agents defecting from the Minneapolis police to join ICE, essentially, or police officers from the Minneapolis police. So you're probably going to see these defections. So essentially what it is ultimately is a bunch of, you know, angry plebs fighting and bureaucrats fighting the federal agents. And all at the same time, it's looking like there's going to be a government shutdown, which is going to piss off the bureaucrats even more.
Yeah, and whether it's ICE agents, federal agents, or especially Marines, state or shoot first, listen to podcasts later. They are not digesting signal and using it to make informed decisions. They are reactionaries. They are out there shooting at threats, reacting to threats and risks. It'll be blame. And I think I saw this video on either TikTok or Instagram earlier, and it was this guy was saying, where it seemed kind of controversial or incendiary at first. He's like, I don't care. I don't care about this. I do not care about what's going on in Minneapolis. And then he went on to clarify that this empathy fatigue, this, you have to care about each of these situations you monitor. You can't just monitor them mindfulness and just take it in and observe, is an ego thing. And people have an ego and they think that their opinion on this kind of stuff matters, and it doesn't. Right now, I think the most important perspective, and maybe you disagree or agree, is that this is the culmination of a lot of politics, corruption, Epstein client list type stuff, fraud, like all bad immigration policy, terrible Republican policy, terrible Democrat policy. It's all culminating. And one side is going to win and one side is going to lose. And I couldn't be wrong, but it feels like the feds, as they are currently mobilized and structurally, like politically, ideologically aligned, are going to win this. Because when you look at Minneapolis, it is like the guy that got shot, right? People have pointed this out. This isn't an original observation. When you look behind him and like where he was at on the street, the storefronts, it looked like kind of like a third world storefront. And it was, people were zooming in and you could see that it was like, this happened out front of a small daycare, some sort of like Medicaid, home hospice care fraud, building. Like UK, Kyle Rittenhouse couldn't shoot a bullet in any direction without hitting a pedophile in Wisconsin during those riots. You can't film an ICE execution without seeing some sort of Somali daycare fraud or Medicare fraud. And if you think back to 2020, when these people burned down and rioted and destroyed Minneapolis, all of the productive pioneers have left Minneapolis. All of the entrepreneurs have left Minneapolis, at least the parts that are run by retarded plebs. There's very little true, productive, entrepreneurial, economic activity taking place in Minneapolis anymore. It has been replaced by Medicare fraud, welfare fraud, daycare fraud, other sorts of fraud. And it seems likely that this is all then facilitated and enabled by the Minneapolis city government, Mayor Jacob Frey, by Tim Walz, by the retards basically running the state. And this is happening everywhere, but Minneapolis is a microcosm, and it is the situation we're all monitoring now. And the guy that got shot, he was a union member, a government union member. And these people who are rioting, they are, and many of them, it's not their fault. They are just stuck in a shitty situation. their stupid, retarded kin and bar plans. They didn't know. They just didn't have the time or the wherewithal to figure out what's going on. But they are benefiting from this. I think the amount of federal fines, the state spending that goes on in Minneapolis, and their GDP is somewhere in the $300 billion range, but state spending and federal income is like $130 billion per year. So a third of this $315 billion GDP budget, whatever, of Minneapolis is essentially just fraud of some sort. And if you really want to argue, yes, all government spending is fraud, but it's like very, very they're not even trying to hide it here in Minneapolis. So these people, their funding, their livelihoods are coming from these frauds. And the government pulls it, cut it off, they end it, and they send in federal agents. Back to my original point, it seems like that federal enforcement is going to win. Whether you love the feds, hate the feds, or libertarian, liberal, Democrat, progressive, understand that like a tsunami, it doesn't matter if you like it or not, it's happening. You can either get out of the way or you can fight it. And if you want to fight it, that is your right. You have a constitutional right. But like I said earlier, constitutional rights don't protect you from getting slimed by feds. So just think about it before you decide to intervene.
Yeah. I mean, I think anybody that has been paying attention and monitoring the situation will be concerned and frustrated about the tactics the feds are using, about the surveillance, about all the shit that's going on. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at the cannon fodder that is, you know, mobilized and upset right now, they are essentially fighting on behalf of this wide scale fraud that's happening. And it's just hard to really sympathize with that at the end of the day. While you can sympathize with all the rest of the stuff that is drastically concerning, but I mean, it's just, I think it's important for people, you know, when they get upset, to think a little bit more critically about what they're willing to be cannon fodder for. It's like, are you actually representing your interests, or are you just, you know, fighting on behalf of people like Tim Walz to just keep on laundering money?
Right. Everybody was obsessed and with a brief respite in the chaos of all the Minneapolis footage was in last week was a meme of the pangolin. And the pangolin separates himself from the colony and he runs straight to the mountains. He runs straight to what the observers believe is certain death. And the question is, but why? And the pangolin is, you know, it's been memed that he's chasing after something so much bigger than himself. He's going to conquer these problems that will surely overwhelm him, but he will die trying. And everybody identifies themselves, or the people who do identify with the pangolin running off into the mountains, they see themselves, and we've talked about this in recent podcasts, that they see themselves as heroes going to conquer something. And these Lintard Karens with their whistles, they think that they're the pangolin. These Lintard Karens are running in, and these guys are running in to go Leroy Jenkins on federal agents, and they're getting killed, and they feel that they're doing it for a worthy cause. And the right wingers who are doing the same things in these circumstances, some of these ICE agents are going into this certain chaos, and they think they're fighting for the right cause. And your choices for being a hero in the first turning, you don't have to choose between being a Karen with a whistle or a Fed with his mask. You can go your own way. That is what the pangolin really is. The pangolin is going a different way. He's going away from Minneapolis, away from the Karens, away from the whistles, away from the feds, and he's doing something better. It's not trying to make a name for yourself on TikTok, fighting federal agents for corruption, or fighting corruption for the Epstein client list. It's not a binary choice.
Yeah, I think the real solution in all of this, and the protest at the end of the day that is productive, is dropping out. The more you drop out from it, like that is what the Penguin's doing. He's dropping out from all the bullshit.
Yeah. Not everybody doesn't need going by yourself alone. You can drop out with your family. You can drop out with your group chat. You can encourage others to come with you to the mountains, even if most people stay behind. You don't have to be isolated. You don't have to be alone. Literally be alone, but it will feel lonely. You are going to, most people are not coming with you on the, most people are not built to be pioneers. The little house on the prairie, the Laura Ingalls Wilder, all the little sisters and the dad, and those are pioneers. It's not, you don't have to go by yourself, but it will be a lonely, isolating experience at times because the crowd is not coming with you.
You're gonna be living a lifestyle that is very hard for the angry pleb cannon fodder to understand, because they are so wrapped into it. One of the consistent things that you're gonna see is these social pressures of people yelling that if you're not with them, then you're against them, trying to push. We've seen this over and over again. It has been rhetoric that has been used a lot in the Bitcoin ecosystem. It's really kind of fourth turning type rhetoric. Like, these people are in the past and it's the first turning, and you shouldn't be stuck in the fourth turning with everybody else being grumpy and angry. It's time to, leave them behind and start building for yourself.
You have to be prepared. They're going to call the Penguin a Nazi. Not because the Penguin has aligned himself with ICE, but because the Penguin, your indifference to their cause will make them label you a Nazi, and the fans will call the Penguin a communist. You don't, just because somebody calls you a Nazi or calls you a communist, you have to know in your soul, in yourself, you have to believe in yourself. And know that just because people are calling you a Nazi or a communist does not make it so.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be placed in scenarios where there's not really a way to win as far as gaining anybody's acceptance. Because the pleb cannon fodder is literally the way that the information channels and the social pressures are constructed, are to make your life as difficult as possible, because they don't want people dropping out from the system. They want them engaged as much as possible, fighting each other. You see these individuals that badger Bitcoin podcasters, calling them controlled opposition for not wanting to participate in the system. Like, you see this over and over again. It's like, okay, you're controlled opposition because you don't have a preference on which side of the Epstein list you want to support. That really makes sense,
right?
It's like how you are in opposition.
You don't have to. You do not have to pick sides on the Epstein client list. If both sides are on the Epstein client list, you're just, if a leftist accuses you of being a Nazi, you just tell him, I'm non-binary. I am not either side of the Epstein client list spectrum. I am outside of that. I am a pioneer. I'm on my own frontier. I do not conform to your Epstein client list norms.
Yeah, I guess it'd be kind of fun to, or a good practice to, role play the proper responses to people when they call you names. That don't actually, I think when you get called a Nazi by a leftist, you need to immediately respond and tell them that they, misused the incorrect political pronouns for you, then what do you tell the person on the right? You call them unpatriotic or something?
I don't know. I think we're still trying to figure out how to distance yourself from the communist libtards without, by default aligning yourself with the feds. And that's going to be an issue. It's like, what do you say to them? Because they'll just call you a retard. And people do not like being called a retard.
People don't call us retards very often.
Well, it's like, here's a good example is Thomas Massie. Thomas Massie is one of the only people in Congress who has basically washed his hands. Like, I'm not going on either side of that Epstein client list. And he takes a lot of heat for it. But here's the thing, like, saying that this is all a distraction from the Epstein list or calling somebody a pedo protector, like, that's, it doesn't have any punch anymore. It's like, it's kind of a cop-out. So that, like, we need a better way to describe to the right. Now, I'm not participating in your ICE raids or like your Fed glazing party. I'm not joining your Fed glazing group chat.
I think, one of the most simple things that you say to somebody on the right is you just point out that that Donald Trump has more pictures with Epstein than you probably have with your own father. Unless you took a lot of pictures with your father. Which a lot of us didn't. That's a hard one.
Or point out, like we did earlier, like these libertarians are doing more to fight for their quote unquote allies that they, I mean, the libertarians are doing more than putting hashtag Free Sam Rye in their Twitter profile. They're out there whistling. They're out there blowing the whistle on Fed overreach, Fed corruption, Fed constitutional violations. What is anybody who's a dissident on the right doing?
Probably posting memes about how you got to pay your taxes and or hate the Jews and what else? So is the right anti-gun at this point? Did they flip-flop officially?
Kind of. They're basically saying that if you bring a gun to, a protest, then you deserve to be shot. It seems like the left, at least this weekend, is more pro-gun than the right.
I think that the right stance is that the tree of liberty should only be watered with the blood of Democrats.
Yeah, that's probably, that sums it up pretty well. The Second Amendment applies to you if you voted for, Republicans. The Second Amendment applies if you're a registered Republican. If you're not a registered Republican, the Second Amendment not only do you not have that protection, but like you should be shot, killed if you have a gun.
Yeah.
But to shift a little bit, although still on the same topic, is like, I don't know if you've seen the, if you want to call it effect, I guess is they're not very effective, but it is a resistance is building up in Minneapolis, and it is the result of a group chat. There is a Signal group chat that is, seems to be run by top level officials in the Walz administration. Both of the people who were actually killed by ICE in the past 2 weeks were members of this group chat, and they're going around coordinating in the Signal group chat to follow ICE around, to track their travel, their movements, their activities, to alert people into certain situations that ICE is coming their way. So this is another example of group chats really rising to prominence and being very critical to the first turning.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, the group chants are always the front line of freedom in the world. And this is something that cypherpunks, the cypherpunks are really on this, talking about the importance of private and free communication methods. And I think sometimes people forget about that because they're so hyper focused on, sending lightning micropayments that they need to pay capital gains tax on.
This is also a good reminder that being deliberate and careful about who you let into your group chats is extremely important, because Signal is a pretty secure group chat technology, but it's only as secure as
the mods.
The cryptography, the mods, right? Like, so if you let in too many people, if your group chat is too large, for you to properly vet the participants, be able to trust those participants, then they can just take screenshots and expose everything. All that cryptography goes out the window when you have a mold of the group chat.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what type of information is being discussed in the group chat, to what level of OPSEC you need to go. Because there is a very real concern. I mean, one of the things I've been looking at a lot in the past week, I guess I've been a little bit behind the curve on this, is Erica Kirk. It's like, what if you're a base pleb that ends up marrying an intelligence asset? And so you spend all this time building all this social capital with the pioneers sitting up in a group chat. And then your wife, Erica, who's going to be twerking on your grave here in the future, is screenshotting all your messages and sending it to her Fed friend. There's a lot of levels right to OPSEC that you can think about if you want to.
Yeah, and even before we even outside the group chat context, it's like there are plebs out there who practice extremely strong privacy OPSEC. They use a NIM, they use VPNs. They never buy KYC Bitcoin. They never wear a Bitcoin podcast t-shirt in public to let people know that they're a Bitcoiner. But they constantly try to orange pill or make their wife listen to podcasts. And she goes to work and she tells all of her friends, oh, my husband, he's obsessed with Bitcoin. And all the ladies at work, they just gab, jab, jab and gossip. The next thing you know, everybody knows that you're a Bitcoiner in your community, even though you only used non-KYC peer-to-peer technology to buy Bitcoin. You never expose yourself on podcasts or on the internet, but your wife knows you're a Bitcoiner. She tells everybody.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, with the ongoing tensions being raised, Donald Trump keeps on doing people a big disservice by continuing to tweet about crypto. He keeps on saying over and over again that the U.S. is becoming the world capital for crypto. At the time, he's sending his Fed cannon fodder to go fight with the libtard whistleblower cannon fodder. And so what that is inevitably doing, and I think a lot of people have been predicting this, and, Mike Brock has been at the forefront of this, trying to create this tension, this ideological divide between the left and right on Bitcoin. Bitcoin podcasters.
Well, not only that, Donald Trump is promising or signaling that Bitcoin transactions will be non-taxable. So now plebs are coming out and they're spending their Bitcoin and they're creating all these taxable events. And Donald Trump, like many other things, does not come through on this promise to make Bitcoin transactions non-taxable. Well, then these plebs are going to find themselves in situations where the IRS is going to be knocking down their door and telling the IRS that you posted memes in support of ICE throughout this whole Minneapolis ordeal is not going to protect you from ICE or from IRS agents who are there to collect their tax money because they need to fund these operations to distract people from the Epstein client list.
Well, this is, I think where the ideological divide of the bureaucrat class, the military, you know, and all these different factions of government gets really interesting. Because when you think about the individuals working at the IRS, they tend to be more on the side of big government bureaucratic class. And Donald Trump has gone in and has pissed them all off, right? By threatening to fire them. And, you know, the left has blamed him and his administration for the government shutdowns, where they were going with paychecks for an extended period of time, and they were really angry. So posting that pro-ICE meme might actually get you in more scrutiny in this scenario. And there is a risk of being ideologically targeted by these different bureaucratic agencies.
So back to my point about one of these sides is going to win. I think it seems like the federal, not just like Trump and ICE, but like this general federal movement against the states that are in non-compliance or whatever you want to call it, they're going to win. So the problem is there's a lot of people who they've got these like utopian visions of, well, if ICE wins and we go back to the 1980s or the 1970s and it's a white society and that's what I want, blah, blah, blah. And the left has this, I don't know what the left's vision of victory is, but either side wins. We either have a like communist dystopia or a fascist like Palantir. Everything is surveilled, surveillance state, police state. Some people like that idea. I think most of our listeners don't like either of those ideas. So you have to start preparing for what comes next. The first turning is not all, you know, roses and greatness for everybody, right? The first turning is about rebuilding institutions and conformity. And so conformity either means everybody's wearing the same clothes, like in North Korea, where everybody lives alike and they're all wearing their potato farmer sacks, or everybody's blending in like this new, like wearing suits. Everybody's got to wear suits again. Everybody's wearing suits and ties like in the 1940s and 50s. What comes next? What does the first turning look like? And thinking that the first turning is a utopia just because you're psych quote unquote one, I think that's a mistake too. I think looking at the first turning as an opportunity to build and an opportunity to do things the right way is one perspective on it. But it's not going to be everything you wish it would be. It's not going to be a utopia. So how do you prepare for some of the characteristics, some of the features of the first turning, which, like I said, is rebuilding and conformity?
There's a lot of individuals that have been preparing for this for a long time. You know, millennials tend to be into these trends, right? They tend to do things that are, you know, slightly uncomfortable or are uncomfortable just for the sake of it, like the novelty of it. Like the Wim Hof method was really popular, taking cold showers, cold plunges, you know, all sorts of, you know, weird fitness routines, diets, fasting, all sorts of stuff. All the unnecessary pain that they were producing or putting themselves through in order to, you know, follow whatever the trend was, has really prepared them. If you have those Wim Hof breathing methods down, you are going to be way better prepared for the pain and for the struggle in the first turning.
Listening to 40 hours per week, again, how you succeed in the first turning. It's how you succeed in the fourth turning, but it's never too late to get on the right path.
Well,
so breaking news, gold has hit $5,000 for the first time in history.
I think Marty Bent has already capitulated and is starting to podcast about gold and silver.
Marty is, he's embracing, Marty's his age. He seems like an older millennial. But in his heart and his spirit, he's been and he is going. He is the penguin running towards the Golden Mountain.
One thing I wanted to kind of end on and discuss before rolling into the Fountain Boost is Mechanic seems to be calling us the mainstream media now. That's his new tactic.
Princess Suspicious Glaze. The Mechanic seems to be trying to glaze us in an underhanded way.
Yeah, what do you think that's about?
I think he's trying to portray the Bugle alongside or in the context of like the mainstream media, because he knows the plebs don't trust the mainstream media and he doesn't want the plebs to trust the Bugle. But that's a mistake, because that we don't want the plebs to trust the Bugle. We don't want the plebs to trust us. Mechanic wants the plebs to trust him. And I think that you can put it very simply as some influencer on the internet who wants you to trust them is usually trying to scam you. We don't want you to trust us. We want you to think critically and we want you to think for yourself. We're simply giving you the news. We don't want you to trust us. We just want you to be informed. And if we are telling you not to trust us, only to think for yourself and consume as many perspectives and news and ideas as possible, you won't be scammed by us at the end of the day. Whereas somebody who wants you to trust them, you may end up getting scammed.
Yeah. It's an interesting tactic a lot of people have used throughout the years. It's very Alex Jones-esque. It's pretty funny watching Alex Jones, because Alex Jones is fully on the side of the feds these days. But, you know, Alex would constantly undermine any sort of trust in other media outlets and then proceed to spew a bunch of slop because he wanted the plebs to trust him. It's a very similar tactic that has been used over and over and over again. It just, you take advantage of people feeling disenfranchised in some way. And you don't have to justify anything that you're saying as being true or provide any proof for it. You just say, they're lying to you, so therefore I'm not, and I'm right. And that typically is a pretty effective strategy for corralling and convincing plebs.
Right, Mechanic wants to corral you. We don't want to corral you.
No, we're trying to convince people to stop allowing themselves to be corralled. We're trying to free as many people out of the corral as possible.
I think that's all that needs to be said about Mechanic, is just look at the incentives, look at the motives of us versus Mechanic. Decide for your, I don't care if you like us. We want you, if you hate us, we want you to send us an email. We want you to send us grumpy hate mail. We want you to tell us how much you dislike us. And guess what? We won't block you. We're not waiting for your glaze.
Have you seen a predicts market yet on who's going to win the pedophilic civil war?
I haven't seen that yet, but we probably need to create a predicts market for that.
Well, I think this is week three of thinking that the U.S. is going to invade Iran, and they haven't yet. Still could happen tonight. We're recording Sunday afternoon, but it's looking unlikely at this point that it'll happen until next weekend, but who knows? You got any thoughts or predictions on just the general geopolitical situation before we go into Fountain Boost?
It's hard to know what's going on in Iran, because they've cut out the internet. They've taken out the terminals for Starlink, but I've seen reports that the regime has slaughtered over 40,000 people, maybe as much as 80,000 people. No confirmations on that. I've seen pictures of body bags, but I haven't seen pictures of or any video coming out. I guess when the internet does come back on, we will have some video that leaks out to see what's been going on. But they did send, Trump said he's sending an armada there. They've been sending a lot of cargo planes to the Middle East. I think that they're, my guess, my speculation is that they are prepared for Iran to basically fight to the death, and like all, if they have a nuclear missile, a nuclear rocket to use it potentially, and they're trying to set up and be as prepared as possible to use discombobulators or whatever. There's been reports that we got energy weapons, lasers to shoot out missiles and take that stuff down. They're trying to make sure that they, Iran doesn't nuke Israel or Saudi Arabia or one of our bases. I don't know. But I think that if the Iran regime is weak, that Trump is looking to neutralize it. So I think, I think by the end of the year was my prediction on Iran falling. So we're still in January. So I think there's plenty of time. Lower your time preference if that's your call.
Yeah, it'll probably happen eventually, but we'll see. It's hard to predict. The fog of war is foggy, to say the least. Well, going into the Fountain Boost, folks, thank you for boosting the show. This is really, I think, one of our only sources of income. So thank you for the cigarette money. First boost from Late Stage HODL, 6006 at, says, so if Scott Horden is denaturalized and Scott Horden show is a part of my 40HPW, does that mean ICE is coming to deglaze the next?
To deglaze me next. First of all, Late Stage HODL spent a while. Nice to see you back in the boosts. I don't know if we talked about Scott. No, I don't know who Scott Horton is. Sounds like a podcast. If they're kicking him out, ICE might be coming to deglaze you next. Nobody knows who's ICE or the feds are coming to deglaze next. That is why you shouldn't glaze them, because they're like Indian glazers. They'll take back their glaze. They don't care if you glaze them in the past. If they don't like you, it's over for you. So just do not let your guard down when it comes to the Fed.
Scott Horden is he's one of the bigger libertarian podcasters. He's written a couple of good books, like Enough Already. He runs antiwar.com. But yeah, could be a target to be denaturalized. Are you next Late Stage HODL? I don't know. I mean, I think you live in a region. I'd be more worried right now instead of the feds, the roving factions of people wound up on behalf of the different factions of the pedophilic ruling class. That's what I'd be a little bit more worried about right now. But that could change in the future.
If there's anything Karens do not like, if it's anything women and wives do not like, it's ungovernable misfits. They think I can govern them. I can fix these misfits. I can make them compliant husbands. So be wary of that. Be wary of everyone. Be suspicious of everyone. Late Stage HODL. Last one is from Bubba, 2,112 sats. I got nothing and I got too many sats. So here you go. No, we can't have too many sats, Bubba, but thank you for your donation, for your boost.
I was listening to their last episode of the Two Angry Cunts podcast, and they were talking all about sports ball in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. They were, and Bubba was reading about the Broncos. He's a big Broncos fan. Broncos are playing right now against the Patriots in the snow. So if you're a sports ball guy, Bubba is your Broncos fan. If you hate the Broncos, turn all of your sports ball anger at him.
Do people hate the Broncos?
People in the AFC West who like other teams don't seem to like the Broncos too much. And the Patriots are playing the Broncos today, so they're not fans.
I know a lot of people don't like the Patriots.
Patriots have a big history of winning. The Broncos haven't done that good in a while.
Thanks for the boost, Bubba. Next boost from Sasha, 2100 Sats says, great show, thanks. You're welcome, Sasha. Thank you. She keeps on texting me pictures of like her smoking cigarettes and stuff. So that's cool.
Hell yeah. User 229-0668, 1500 Sats. I was once deaf, but Bitcoin podcasts cured my hearing. That's a beautiful story. Beautiful metaphor.
Shamrock 939 Sats says, so good, first turning vibes are high. Absolutely.
Hell yeah. 500 Sats with Swear Jar. What a great fourth turning. We grew as a family and made it out okay. I even taught my kids how to kill squirrels with a rock, slaying at 20 yards. Don't return those freeze dryers yet, little boys. It's time to get ready for the next fourth turning. 2112 year. Here we come. Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of people think that aging is going to be solved. A lot of us are going to live. So this might not be our last. We might not have survived our last fourth turning. We might be around for the next one. So you got to be prepared for that. Lessons learned. Build strong group chats, good foundations in the first turning. And hopefully that some of them that we build will outlast the next 80 to 100 years.
Yeah, Brian Johnson thinks that you can live forever if you sleep a lot. And I think based on his line of thinking, the situation monitors are going to have some of the shortest lifespans. You know, he's always out there chastising people who are sleeping in bed with their phones, monitoring the situation all night. Final boost from BTC on board, 100 sats, 3 thumbs up. Thank you, guys. Folks, we're going to be here. We're going to be monitoring the situation, this whole first turning. It's getting a little bit rowdy, and I think it's just going to continue to stay rowdy. Going into the spring, it's going to get rowdier, so hold on to your hat, buckle up your seatbelt, enjoy the ride. Gold is ripping. Bitcoin is not doing anything interesting, but there are situations popping up left and right to monitor, so no reason to be bored.
It's live culture, and with the crowns, little bit of sugar made the truth go down. Same old mess, but it tastes okay. If this is the world, we'll survive this way. It's live culture, no escape. Now they glitch, it's the shape of the age. If it's all inevitable, then I suppose we make it catchy so it don't hurt so close. Politics loud, but that's a deal. So many people, not in the frill. Every system stretched too thin, so we glaze it and claim no win. And the day's been overdue. Still gotta laugh, still gotta move. If everything breaks when it gets this big, then slop shit's how we package it. We don't choose it, we just arrive. This many voices, it's much noise, of meaning cracks under all that weight. We smooth the edges, call it fate. It's live culture, and we're the clowns. Little bit of sugar made the truth go down. Same old mess, but it tastes okay. If this is the world, we'll survive this way. It's live culture, no escape. Now the glitch is the shape of the age. If it's all inevitable, then I suppose we make it catchy so it don't hurt so close. Corporate smiles, faith in lights. Everyone searching for something like yes, it don't scale too well. Scale till we make them jokes, make them sell. Make them sell. Hey, I talk human tone. Everything feels half machine, half hope. If death drowns when the crowd gets loud, that slop shit's how we flow now. You can fight it, you can cope. From home alone and let it go. This much chaos, this might sound. It's live culture, cut it off. Turn the volume up, turn the echoes off. Stay simple, stay kind, so everyone can sleep at night. It's live culture by design. Smooth the truth, so the pills roll down. But future shadow, wide and bright. You see me as sweet, so it feels alright. Maybe it's mercy, maybe it's fate. Maybe it's how the system breaks. Too many lives, too much to hold. Slowly coated in and gold. If the world won't slow
doorstep. And past this foam, past the stars. It's our culture, we the state.
Better.